Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am, of course, TF Joe and Mike. And joining me for the final episode of 2023 is none other than Mr. David Draper. Hello, Dave.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am well. And today we close out 2023 by heading back to that galaxy which is far, far away to talk about Solo, a Star Wars story.
Now this is the one from the game where he's like dancing, right? I'm Han Solo. Remember that was like, you remember the Kinect? It was a Star Wars Kinect game, and they had the famous Bespin cloud sequence where Han's dancing to Solo. That would have been a good movie. Mm-hmm. A better movie than what we got. I'm just saying that'd be difficult. Like, I actually don't hate this movie.
Okay, because I don't hate it either. I actually really enjoyed it.
I have a lot of issues with it, which we'll get to. That's the whole point of this podcast, is to talk about the movie.
Yes, we will get to that. And as you're saying this about Han dancing, all I can think of is, oh my god, he's dressed up as Mr. Rickroll over there. That's all I can think of is the Rickroll.
Ashley, something.
Rick Ashley. Yeah.
No, he's not. He's dressed in the Bespin outfit. It's set in Cloud City, so he's got the Bespin outfit. And then
I know.
The two guards dancing like his wingmen.
That's hilarious. All right, folks.
And there is actually a video game connection with this movie. Mm-hmm. Do you know what it is?
Mm-mm. Tell me, what is it?
I think Kira name drops Terakasi,
okay,
which is the Star Wars fighting game, and that is the Star Wars martial arts style. Is Terakasi? She name drops it in the movie. There's a lot of little references in this particular movie. For example, at one point, Lando mentions the I don't even think they're canon anymore, but the old books. There were three Han Solo books back in the 70s or the 80s. Yep. And then there are three Lando Calrissian books, which had to be the 80s because Empire came out in 80. And he mentions the Mindharp of Shiru, which is the one that I've read.
Very cool, very cool. All right, just the facts, folks. You all probably all know this, but we have to go through it anyway. Directed by Mr. Apollo 13 himself, Ron Howard.
I got to call you right away. This is one of the things about this movie, is it was originally slated to be directed by Lord and Miller. I think it's Phil Lord and something Miller, Chris Miller maybe. The guys who did the Lego movie, the guys who did the cop show, and they did the funny version of it.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
With Johnny Depp, remember?
Yes.
21 Jump Street. 21 Jump Street.
21 Jump Street.
The Lego movie. They did another one, and they're the producers on the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse movies. They're very talented. They're very funny. Lego movie was brilliant. And they originally were hired to do this movie. They filmed a big chunk of this movie. They were taking too long. They were doing too many takes. They were spending too much money. So they kind of got dumped at some point. And they brought in Ron Howard, you know, who is a longtime friend of George Lucas because he starred in American Graffiti. And he also directed Willow. So one of the interesting things about this film, when you watch it, is trying to keep an eye out for the Lord and Miller stuff.
Okay.
And then the Ron Howard stuff. And there's only one or two scenes. I think a lot of stuff between Han and Chewie early on, I think, was Lord and Miller, particularly the scene in the shower. That's definitely a Lord and Miller scene where it's like awkward and weird and funny.
Yeah. Ron would not do that, I don't think.
No. Ron Howard's a good director, but I also think he's, how do I put this? He's not a visionary. You know what I mean? He turns in a good film, but I don't think there's like a real spark to his work.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to be mean about it, but like, you know, like they're visionary directors, and sometimes their films aren't very good because when they're not allowed to rein it in, when they don't have to be practical, they can be too much. But I think Howard was a very workmanlike guy, and he turned in a very workmanlike Star Wars film.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and he's directed a lot more movies than I remember.
Oh, I mean, like Apollo 13, mm-hmm. Night Shift. I mean, I know the most of the early ones because I'm old. Far and Away.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's done a lot of other ones. But, like, my point is there will always be – there's another universe, a parallel universe, where there's a Lord Miller Star Wars movie, and I'm sad that I don't live in it because that would be fascinating.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, like you said, all the stuff, Backdraft from 91.
Backdraft.
One of my favorites, Ransom from 96 with Wahlberg and Gibson and Rene Russo. It's the one where Mel Gibson plays the airline exec and his son gets kidnapped, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, somebody dies in a pool. I remember.
Yeah, I forgot he directed A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a – like, dude's got – like, even going back just to 2008, Frost/Nixon.
That's a good one. He directed that? That's a pretty solid one, too. Okay, well, perhaps I was – I mean, none of them were, like, really visionary per se, but they were all done really well. Like, he's a good director.
Yeah, he's got a good directing track record. But, yeah, I mean, they're not like a John Woo or a whatever, however
David
you want
to
– Yeah, David. Yeah.
I mean, even Spielberg's got like a spark to his early stuff.
I need to send you this link after the show, but I just bought La La Land Records before you people will be hearing this, most likely. As of this recording, they just released a 3-CD set of Hook. We're finally getting the Hook soundtrack score, and I'm like, I'm buying that.
that's Williams. It's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to Solo and all this and all that. Jonathan Cassaden and Lawrence Cassaden were the writers on this.
Cassaden, you added an A.
Oh, Cassaden, sorry.
Yeah, Lawrence Cassaden was involved with he co-wrote the script for Empire, and I think he was involved in Jedi. And he contributed on Force Awakens too. Like he's in Star Wars' early DNA.
Yes.
And Jonathan is his son who actually had the idea for the plot of the movie, and later went on, he was involved in Disney's Willow series.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. Just looking at Lawrence really quick here. He's you're right, obviously, because you're always right. The Empire Strikes. Right. You're always right. Stop it. When it comes to Star Wars,
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, the Da Vinci Code.
Sorry, like I finally got IMDb to load on my thing.
Oh, I don't use. I use Wikipedia. It's much easier. But yeah, no, he's good. Very very cool. Yeah.
But yeah, Kasdan, I did a lot of stuff with. I mean, of what Lucas did, because Lucas, you know, Lucas only directed five movies, six movies. I think THX counts as a movie. Well, because it was also the film project. I always get that little, you know, he's one of those guys that made the film project and then like redid it as a feature film. But yeah, THX, Graffiti, Star Wars, and then the prequels. And I think those are the only one. I don't think he directed Red Tails. I think he just produced it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And then, you know, famously he was going to do Apocalypse Now. And
that's right.
What's his name? Coppola stole it from him. that's what damaged their friendship.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know, you're not supposed to steal from your friends.
It depends on the friend.
Wow.
Oh, he knows I love him.
Mm-hmm. Starring a whole bunch of people. Woody Harrelson, Emilia Clarke, Donald Glover, Thandi Newton's in, like, I forgot.
Yeah, she's Val. She's Woody Harrelson's girlfriend.
Yep.
Jon Favreau is Rio.
Yep.
The alien, the voice of the alien with the forearms.
Yep. Paul Bettany is in this.
As a bad guy, and that was one of those things that they changed because I think it was a different villain, like a different head bad guy in the Lord Miller version.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure I heard. I vaguely remember reading about Bettany talking about how they brought him in at kind of the last minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bettany has had a very awesome and interesting career. And the first time I ever saw him was in 2001 in A Knight's Tale.
As Chaucer.
Oh, I love that movie.
I like that movie a lot, yeah. I
love that movie. And then, obviously, he's played a bunch of other characters. He was in Master and Commander. He was in Dogville. He was in, like you said earlier, The Da Vinci Code. And then in 2008, he became an AI. He became one of the good AIs, because in reality, folks, AI is evil. But Jarvis in Iron Man, and then he went on to do all that and everything else. So yeah, and then obviously became Vision. But yeah, no, love. Ooh, I don't know when this is coming. I assume it's going to be 2024 most likely, but The Collaboration, he's going to play Andy Warhol.
Wow.
Alrighty then. Music done by John Powell and John Williams for Solo. So very
I think they credited Williams with like the basic theme.
Yeah, well, you kind of have to. I mean, don't you?
No, I know you have to, but I don't think he contributed any new music to the movie.
Right. Okay.
Gotcha. I have that soundtrack. It's weird. Like, one of the weird things about the Disney Star Wars movies, and Disney movies, maybe Disney movies in general, I only really notice it with the Star Wars ones, is the trailers have these really cool themes.
Yeah.
That aren't in the soundtracks at all. Like, the Solo trailer music had, like, this guitar riff, and it was really kind of cool, and I was really excited to get the soundtrack, and it's just kind of like, it's not really that great. It's cute, it serves the movie well, but it's not as annoying as Rogue One, and that's Michael Giacchino.
Yeah.
Because that one drives me crazy, because it's constantly, like, almost like the John Williams theme, but not! And you're like, you know, when you're listening to a cover of your favorite song and the guy's the person's doing something different. So you're trying to get into the groove and it's constantly jarring you out of your groove. Like, the whole Rogue One theme is like that. Where I think Solo only really does it. I'm pretty sure they do the Imperial March. In fact, I know at one point in universe, they do the Imperial March. And then I think they do the asteroid theme too when they're in the They quote the asteroid theme in whatever you call it, the Briar Patch. I'm watching too much science fiction. There's too many, like, the zone around Kessel. I can't remember what it's called.
Yes.
Well, because there's also, like, the Briar Patch, and there's something in Star Trek. I've been watching Deep Space Nine, and there's, like, a big field that, like, the stupid Marquis hide in all the time.
Yep.
It's a classic sci-fi trope of the big area of space that you can't get into, so everyone goes there.
Yes. And of course, you know, you mentioned Briar. The first thing that my mind goes to is Sleeping Beauty, and Briar Rose is her name. Oh Lord. But yes, Star Wars Solo, A Star Wars Story. Why did they title it that?
The non Skywalker saga films had A Star Wars Story as their subtitle. The Maelstrom, the Akkadian Maelstrom. I have my little official visual guide with me.
Yay! So this came out in 2018. I know I didn't see it in theaters. Did you?
Yes, I did. There's a little bit of a story to it. Well, yeah, I've seen every Star Wars movie. Even Rise of Skywalker in the theater. this one was interesting because I had injured my back.
Okay.
And, like, sitting hurt really badly. But at the same time, there was a Star Wars movie coming out, and we actually got invited by a friend of ours who, like, his thing was he had seen every Star Wars movie opening day with his friends, and I guess I couldn't make it to Solo. So he offered to, like, get us tickets, me and Jason. So we, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the seats, but so I was, like, in agony, literally physical agony watching this movie, which is not the best circumstances.
No.
But, you know, like, it was Star Wars, and I was going to go. And keep in mind, I think this one came out after. It was like they would do a Skywalker and then a side story and then Skywalker and then side story, and then Rise kind of killed the movies for a bit.
Yeah.
So this one came out after Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So the fandom had already kind of turned on Lucasfilm. Now when we get to that movie, I actually like Last Jedi. There are things I like about it a lot. I think it has a lot of flaws. Mm-hmm. So I was not one of the fandom who was like, Star Wars, I hate you. I didn't get there. I really didn't get there until Ahsoka. Or no, Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan really turned me against them. Yeah. But I enjoyed it when I saw it the first time in theaters. I have watched it, I think once when it came out on video, and then for this episode, many weeks ago when we were supposed to record it, I watched it again. I don't know that it holds up under a lot of repeat viewings. I will say the big thing about this, like the elephant in the room that we're not talking about, and you didn't even name him when we were doing the cast,
mm-hmm.
is Aldrin Eichhart or something.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't.
The non Harrison Ford who plays Han Solo, which, you know, at this point, and then there was like a controversy about that because there was another young actor who looks like Harrison Ford and sounds mm-hmm. like Harrison Ford. I can't remember his name. I think he was in Baby Driver. And like people actually have speculated, Harrison had quite the run back in the day. But I will say the first time I saw this movie, after like the first couple of minutes, it didn't bother me. I think this latest time, you know, it's like you're not Harrison Ford. I do sort of. I think it hurts the film. I at the same time, like they did the Star Trek reboot in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and they recast all those iconic characters, and they did okay.
Yeah.
Quinto was okay as Spock, and then they nailed what's his name? He's in The Boys. He's in everything these days. He's a great actor. In The Boys. He's in Lord of the Rings.
Who did he play in
Bones.
Star Trek?
He nailed it as Bones.
Oh, Carl Urban.
Carl Urban nailed it as Bones. And then I think Chris Pine was okay as Kirk. Like I think they played up like an aspect. People will always point out they played up an aspect of Kirk, but he was okay. What I'm saying is, it has been established that you could recast iconic characters with different actors, and it had worked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the first time I saw this, again, there was a pretty big filter of my back was in agony, but I didn't really notice it as badly as I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people were just like, he's not Harrison Ford. We hate this movie. It's dumb. Like, I mean, you know, Ford's 100 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I kind of see a little bit of, like, again, this is the prequel. This is the
He's not
the
there
thing.
Yet.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not there
yet. But I mean, the character isn't Han Solo yet.
You know
what I mean? I think that's what sorry to interrupt you. I'm very rude.
So I see the beginnings because, again, like I said, this is obviously prequel. This is before episode 4 and all that and everything else. This is the movie we needed 40 years ago, 30 years ago, however the hell long ago, whatever. And now that we got it in 2018, I'm like, it's like, they always talk about the goddamn Kessel Run, like how impressive it was and how they won the ship from each other and blah, blah. We finally get to see that here after X number of decades. And I like Alden as Han here because you get to see how Han eventually becomes the character that we know that Harrison played, the jaded pirate that he was in the films that he was in. So I like that. I like the performance. This guy, there are two movies in his filmography that I recognize, maybe three. Blue Jasmine, obviously Solo, and Oppenheimer. Every other thing he's done since 2009, I do not know any of the films that this man has been in.
Well, I mean, I think they went with a relative unknown for Solo, so his mm-hmm. career probably wouldn't be that high profile before 2018.
Yeah.
And I mean, Solo was considered a disappointment at the time, so I can see why, you know, he didn't do a lot since then. Which isn't fair to like blame him.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
Yeah, it's like when they went after like Hayden Christensen, like when they went after Garfield for Spider-Man. Like these actors are doing the best jobs they can, and when you watch the films with a more when you take a step back And, yeah. You know, and you don't need the film to be the greatest thing ever. You know, these guys turn in pretty good performances. Christian's a good actor.
Yeah.
He was directed by George Lucas, which is kind of like pretty strong headwinds to go into.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Could you play it like the old 1920s silent films, please, and just sort of make sure that the people in the back seats get it? And it's like, okay. Just scream, I hate you. I'll be behind these monitors over here sipping my coffee and not interacting with you. No, like you watch the behind the scenes stuff, and like George
is very hands off.
George was not an actor's director.
Yeah, no.
So you can't even really fault Jake Lloyd for giving a bad performance because he's a little kid.
Yeah,
but like you can't really fault anybody in those movies for having a bad performance because you're being directed by George Lucas.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't realize he was in it. I haven't seen Oppenheimer, so I didn't realize he was in it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I just don't have any interest in watching it. I've heard so many great things about it, but it's just not my cup of tea. So
yeah, I've heard it's good, but like it's not really about what you think it's about.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh, he's doing the bomb, making the bomb, and it's more about like the political crap around it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And I get political thrillers can be entertaining. Just look at The Winter Soldier from Marvel. But there's so much political crap in this world. That's what entertainment is for, is an escape. And I don't want to escape into more politics of what color juice Han Solo drinks or whatever. So this movie starts out on Corellia.
Which I was right. It starts with Coronet. Which, as a player of Star Wars Galaxies, I was very happy about, because Coronet's the main city on Corellia. So yeah. It's like, woo, Coronet, woohoo!
And as I'm watching this, because I only watched it once a few weeks ago when my brain kind of farted. That's a common
theme with us on these recordings.
Well, you know, normally...
How are you a nerd? Like, you haven't seen, like, half the canon.
What do you mean I haven't seen half the canon?
You watched Jurassic Park for the first time this year.
Oh, wait, but that's not this canon. That's a different canon. Well,
I mean the nerd canon,
Oh, sir. Please. Like, there's plenty of nerd canons to go around. Don't need one dinosaur movie unless it has robots in it, thank you. I just want robot dinosaurs. I don't want real ones. I want robots.
No, you are a filthy heathen. Robot dinosaurs... No, that's disgusting. You, sir, are a Philistine.
Me, Grimlock, Philistine.
Oh, well, Grimlock's the Dinobots is the exception to the rule.
Yeah, that's the robots I'm talking about.
There's more to the universe than Transformers, my friend. Yeah, like, even I expand my boundaries beyond Star Wars. There's Star Wars and Jurassic Park.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, and then a little bit of Star Trek and mixing
some... Star Trek. Yeah, actually, yeah, Star Trek. I mean, they're different franchises. They're completely different franchises, and they're different things.
Yep. And yeah, so I really dug this. I thought this was great. I thought what they were doing. I was surprised to see Woody Harrelson in this. Not the character itself, but just surprised to see, like. Look, Woody Harrelson to me is like Money Train or Cheers or anything other than somebody in the Star Wars universe.
No, I get that. It was an unusual casting choice. I agree 100%.
But it works. It works.
It works for that character, yeah.
Yeah, because the character is so good. I love Donald Glover as Lando.
Yeah,
he's awesome. I think he's a good younger version of what Billy Dee did. Very much more of the scoundrel than I mean, Han is still a scoundrel, and I can kind of see what you're saying about how he's not quite there yet, and he'll get there eventually. But I kind of like, that's why I like this movie, is that we see Han at a crossroads of, is he going to go this way or that way? And what's he going to do? And how's he going to get it done? Because I know Han Solo had a love interest. I didn't read the expanded universe that doesn't.
Oh, well, she never appeared before this movie.
Oh, okay. Well,
she is sir appearing in this film. And it actually, you know, one of the movies this one reminded me of a lot was Young Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the exact same thing, but it's also very similar. It's the story about how the love of his life, blah, 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 and then he loses her, and then he becomes kind of the jaded adult that he becomes. And it also is very similar. One of the things that – one of my issues with the film is that they cram all – you were talking earlier how you liked how they explained this and how they explained that. It's like they crammed all of it into this movie.
Yeah.
He gets the Han Solo blaster. He meets Lando. He gets the Falcon. He meets Chewie. You know, he has the love of his life that he loses, although she's still floating around if they do a sequel. But, you know, like, it's all the Han Solo lore. Like, the only thing they didn't do is give him the goddamn vest. But, like, yeah, every other – the Kessel – they do the Kessel Run. And
yep.
I'm a little – like, the Kessel Run was a little bit of a disappointment to me because – I would have preferred this movie to be done before they got bought out by Disney, because they absolutely changed that for this film. Because, you know, everyone knows the spice mines of Kessel. Yeah. It's mentioned in the first film. It's mentioned in Star Wars. It's basically drugs. Like, the Kessel Run was a drug run.
Yeah.
And then Disney buys it, and suddenly Kessel does drugs and also galactic space fuel.
Yeah.
And they just happened to be the same planet. What a coinkydink. And it's like, guys, come on. It's like when they would adapt something in 90s cartoons and all the bad guys were always robots because you could kill robots. You know?
Yep.
You kill robots with no, like, real problems. So, like, you know, Batman's fighting robots and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are fighting robots and everybody's fighting robots. It's like, yeah, no, Kessel sure does drugs, but it also does hyperspace fuel. I was just like, weak.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I see your point and I agree with you, but it's 135 minutes. It's just over 2 hours. Like, for
yeah, but it's got everything crammed into it.
I understand.
I mean, even the fucking, like, giving him the gun was like, because, you know, Beckett's like taking it apart and gives him the DL-45 blaster.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, just I think everything except for Chewie's bandolier is different. So at least we don't have the secret origin of Chewie's bandolier. You know,
right.
I mean, even the Falcon, like, I like the Falcon looks different. I know a lot of fanboys got annoyed about that, partially because there's like a cameo of the Falcon in the third prequel, Revenge of the Sith.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
When they're landing at the spaceport in Corellia, you can see a tiny little Millennium Falcon, and it looks like the classic look.
Mm-hmm.
But Lando actually has a line of dialogue that explains it, that he added an escape pod, which is that thing between the mandibles.
Yep.
I like the redesigned Falcon, but of course by the end, right, the pod's been fired, a lot of the skin's been ripped off. It looks like the Millennium Falcon that we know.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much to cram into one movie, is what I'm saying. Like, just do the Kessel Run. Like, meeting Lando and the Kessel Run makes sense.
Yep.
But it's meet Chewie, getting the gun, getting this, getting that, the Kessel Run, and it's all in the same movie. It was just like every important thing that ever happened in Han Solo's life happened in 1 week.
Well, that's because I'm sure they didn't want to do they didn't want to break it all up.
I'm sure they would have happily done a second movie if it had been a huge hit. They're still talking about doing another movie.
I don't know if they need to, though. Like, even though they crammed all this stuff in here, it still works. It's still, like, for me, it works. Like, yeah, I agree. There's a lot in here, but at no point when I was watching this movie did I feel like, oh my God, my brain is about to break because you have every single important detail about Han's life in this film. Except for, like you said, the vest, obviously. And really, seriously, I don't need a sequel to know where he got the vest. He probably got it off the rack somewhere. Or stole it from Lando or something. It doesn't
I'm surprised he didn't get Lando didn't give him a black jacket and you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are the droids. Oh boy, the droids in this movie.
And the lead droid is, of course, voiced by everybody's favorite actress. She was I don't remember names. Yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who of course went on to do the fifth Indiana Jones movie.
Yep.
L337.
Yep. Which I refuse to watch, by the way. I will not be watching that stuff. Nope. I haven't even seen the fourth. Look, Indiana Jones begins with Raiders and ends at Last Crusade. Again, just like Endgame, you name something the Last Crusade, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
It's a good philosophy to have. I would argue there are parts of Crystal Skull that I like. Mm-hmm. But like, if I could go back and not watch it and just mm-hmm. end with Last Crusade, I would be fine. I'd be happy.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't want to see the fifth one that just like, I don't know. I don't know why there is this push to just destroy all the heroes from our childhood.
Like, well, because they're all getting old, Dave, and some of them aren't with us anymore, and we either have to recast them or somehow find a different way to make the money off the franchise. We got to keep that intellectual property up.
I'm fine with that, but I mean, you can do that without. I mean, the first two seasons of Mandalorian did that, mm-hmm. right? And then they brought in Luke, and it was this incredible high moment.
Yep.
As opposed to like, you know. As opposed to some of the elements of Last Jedi, where they kind of knocked him down, it seems like it's not just Star Wars. It's every franchise just is like they want to trade off of the nostalgia of these properties and the name recognition, but they also kind of want to have the message that these characters, you know, I mean, I get the heroes are flawed and that's fine, but like, you know, like Picard spent two seasons crapping on Jean-Luc Picard, who most people consider the best captain in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And then they did the third season, which, you know, was the fanboy. We're really sorry we did that. You know, here's all the next gen guys. And here's I won't spoil the rest of it. Like there's a big something comes back that probably should not have come back. That's a big thing. Well, and a character comes back that shouldn't have come back because the fans and it made the fans very happy. I love that Worf shows up and he's very Worf about everything. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm rewatching Deep Space Nine, and I finally got to season four when Worf shows up, and like the show just takes off.
Yep.
There's this great episode where they're playing baseball, and everyone's like doing the chatter, like "Come on, bada 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 bada, come on, bada bada bada." Worf's like, kill them all,
yes,
drink their blood, you know, because he's Worf, he's so Worf, I love him.
Hey, bada 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 bada, so we bada Kennedy, so we bada.
Worf just wants to drink Ferris Bueller's blood. Now, there's a movie somebody would watch.
I would watch that.
Yeah. Because, holy crap.
Anyway, Solo starts on Corellia in Coronet. And Han Solo is a street urchin, which is fine, who is in the service of the evil Lady Proxima.
Yep.
And I like that they did. One of the things I like is they did a hut-like creature without it being a hut.
Yeah.
You know? That was kind of cool that it was this weird, creepy, slimy alien worm monster. Mm-hmm. And then the scene with the thermal detonator, which again references his rescue from Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
It's just like that's a Lord Miller scene where he's trying to bluff his way out of. He's got a rock. He's pretending it's a thermal detonator. That's absolutely a Lord Miller scene. And I'll be like Ron Howard, be like, nope, I directed that. But it feels very improvised, very funny, very cute. And he's trying to escape with the love of his life, Kira.
Yep.
Played by the Lord of Dragons.
Yeah.
And there's a chase sequence of the streets of Corellia. He's got a really cool land speeder. And he does the thing. He tries to turn it flat, like he does in the asteroid field with the Falcon. And it doesn't work this time because he's young and he gets it wedged into the door. And he manages to save his dice, the lucky dice, which briefly appear in episode 4. And then they kind of, I guess they decided they didn't like the idea of him having dice on his Millennium Falcon's rearview mirror or whatever. So they got rid of them. The dice do exist. There's in the old Decipher collectible card game, there's a card for them.
Nice.
And at select showings, you could get a pair of the dice, a pair of the, you know, a replica of the dice. And I actually have two pairs. I have one pair still in the package and one pair on my car.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. Well, hey, look. Han Solo was my hero as a child. The Millennium Falcon is my favorite spaceship of all time. You know, he's a cool guy traveling the galaxy with his best friend is his dog, who can also fix his car. Who doesn't want that out of life, you know? Yeah. I mean, the thing about Spaceballs is they were very – it was like the joke was they were – I mean, the idea of him traveling around with his dog, who was his best friend, and in a giant Winnebago, it was like – that was like the subtle thing about Star Wars, but very – I don't know how to put it. I'm fumbling.
I know what you're talking about.
Like that's like yes, that was the idea. That was the appeal, is that you're in this cool RV traveling around space with your dog, and they've just made that very literal as opposed to like subtextual. But again, it's like the dice and the flipping the thing flat, and they go to the spaceport, and he gets through the thing and she gets captured, and we find out where he gets his name from. Because his name is Han, but he has no family. He joins the Empire because that's part of his canonical backstories. He was an Imperial soldier. And like the guy's like, you have no family? Han Solo. And that's also where he notices the Imperial recruiting office because there's like a video playing on the TV. Yep. And it's playing the Imperial March. That's where the Imperial March is canonically in universe.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it was awesome. Yeah, I loved all of this movie. There's not a single, I don't think there's a single scene I didn't like. There wasn't a scene that I felt like I had to pause it, get up, go do something. Like, I sat here and I watched the whole damn movie all in one go. And it's just fun. And that's what movies need to be, is fun. I do like the combination of Beckett and Voss. So between Woody Harrelson and Paul Bettany, I like them together on screen. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Donald Glover does a really good job as a young Lando. L337, you know, instigating the slave revolt. So there's that. That's how they're going to escape.
Well, I remember when I saw it the first time, I really liked that. I thought that was very funny. And the second time, it didn't seem like it was weird. Like, it seemed like it was a bigger thing the first time I saw it than the second time I saw it. Like, it happened the second time. I'm not saying it didn't happen in the movie. Mm-hmm. They edited the DVD or anything. I'm just saying it didn't feel as major a thing the second time I watched it. Whereas it was like a big part of the first time I watched it. Like, and that was cute, the way it just sort of spread from droid to droid. Like, I really like that aspect.
Yeah. I did too. And I think probably, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I think if I had watched this a second time, I would probably have that same feeling because, like I said before, I had never seen this. This was the first time I had watched it. So having that first, like, oh, that's okay, she's going to do that. Who was not K2SO, the other one? Oh, God, there's another.
L37.
Yeah, no, I know that's her, but I'm trying to think. Besides her and besides K2SO, who was we? Oh God, we just saw the shipping droid with Ahsoka. Oh God,
Wang.
Yeah. Like that's what this kind of reminded me of, and if I had seen it a second time, oh, of course she's gonna be And again, retconning and whatever else, and all this and all that. When she – spoilers, folks. When she eventually does sacrifice herself and dies, her navigation and all that becomes the Millennium Falcon's heart thing, which
the only thing – Which famously argues with an Empire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the only thing that has really changed is that it's – oh, earlier they said, oh, this ship has a really weird dialect. And again, I like – putting more backstory to what we've already seen. I like the fact that his droid is the heart of the ship now. So she's still with him kind of thing. I think that is super cool. And I saw that card game, both of those card games, I saw those coming a mile away. I'm like, oh God, I feel like it's celebrity poker over here. And Dave Holmes is about ready to host it or something.
Well, again, that's canonical. Is that Han wins in a setback game? Yeah.
Yep.
So,
I like the action. I like how he meets Chewie is almost like how they have to fight out of the Rancor pit in Jedi. Like, obviously he's not going to kill Chewie, but like, I got Rancor vibes when they're like, yeah, just throw him in the pit.
Yeah.
You'll take care of it. Like, oh, that was cool to me. I really enjoyed that.
Again, I did like that scene. I thought it was funny that like Han, you know, was trying to talk Wookiee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I that was a good scene. And I think I went on a rant in one of our other Star Wars videos. I don't know if it made it in, or not videos, but podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
That planet, Mimbin, is from Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which is okay. The first sequel of Star Wars.
Right.
By, Ghost written by George Lucas, but it was...
Zahn?
Splinter of the Mind's Eye? No, not Zahn.
Alan Dean Foster.
Alan Dean Foster, yes. That's the one with the Kyber. It's the first time you heard about a Kyber crystal, which at the time was like a rare, unique item.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because Chewie and Han aren't in that. It's Luke and Leia. They go to Mimbim and Darth Vader shows up. And like, you find out that like, there's a couple of issues. Like Leia can't swim and Luke can, which is weird because he grew up on a desert planet. And then there's also like Return of the Jedi hadn't happened yet. So there's a scene where the two attractive young main characters are rolling around in the mud on top of each other.
Oh God.
Well, they didn't know. Dude, Return of the Jedi was 6 years away.
I know. I understand.
They even kissed an Empire. Like, so it was one of those things that's like, doesn't work in retrospect, but at the time was fine because you just assumed that Luke was going to end up with Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's how it worked.
But see, even before Jedi, so we've talked about this, folks, and we're probably going to talk about it again in the future once we actually get to the films, the original films. But when I watched Star Wars and Empire as a kid, 87, 88, somewhere around there, I was 7 or 8 years old. I never thought Leia would ever end up with Luke. Ever. Before I even saw Jet, like just watching those first two films, I'm like, okay, it's Han and Leia. That's just what it is. Like, yeah, we have a few scenes, we have a few little hints. Kind of, Luke is kind of like, oh, I wonder, whatever, you know, desert farm boy, whatever the hell. But I just never saw them together. Whereas the scoundrel and the princess. That makes, and maybe it's the fact that I had seen Spaceballs probably before, or maybe just after the first two Star Wars films. Like, it just makes more sense to me. And I'm kind of glad, even though it makes the earlier scenes creepy, I'm kind of glad that they made them brother and sister, the twins of Tatooine and all that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I definitely think after Empire, like, it's pretty clear that develops the romance between Han and Leia. I think with the original Star Wars, you know, it was a much simpler story, and it was, you know, like back in 1977, it was like, you know, the Luke was clearly the hero. He was never my favorite character, but he was clearly the hero, and the hero ends up with a girl. Like, now super fanboys will point out that the original scripts, they were always brother and sister, right? Like, originally, Luke was captured and his sister Leia, I can't remember, I don't think those were their names at the time, but, like, his sister was the one who put together the group that rescued him. So, like, there was always that element there. I think anyone who's ever written anything knows that stuff changes around a lot when you're actually, like, in the process of putting it together, particularly movies.
Yep.
So, I think once you get out of Empire, for her not to end up with Han would suck. Like, cause they clearly, the romance is like a big part of that movie. And also Han Solo is even more awesome in Empire than he is in Star Wars. Cause it's, cause it's peak Harrison Ford awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
So like you want her to end up with him. Yeah. And it would have really sucked for her to go back to Luke. And fortunately, you know, they found a way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Although famously, when Yoda says there is another,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't Leia. Like when it was written and filmed, that wasn't Leia. Who was the other? It was Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
Was the other. So But in the end, they said, okay, they're related, so it's fine. And then they had that little scene in Endor where Han's suddenly stupid and doesn't figure things out quickly. He's been in carbon freeze for a while. Like Han, like yeah, and famously Ford just wanted to die. Like he wanted his character to die, which is sad because it's such a great character. People love him.
Yeah, it is such a great character. But you know, you get into the whole thing of certain actors being typecast as certain, like
yeah, but Ford got out of that quick because right after that and you know, I mean, eventually he went on to, like, he had Witness, and he had the early Tom Clancy movies, except for Red October, but the next two were him as Jack Ryan. Like, out of everyone, I think he escaped it the most. And then he had Raiders in, like, 81.
Yeah.
So he had two mega hits. I think it took Hamill until Batman the Animated Series to really, really separate himself from Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know, I know he'd done a lot of he went into voice work, I think probably to escape that. And Fisher had a couple movie roles, but never really a big star after that. And she became a ghostwriter. She became a script doctor kind of thing. That was her thing. So, yeah, of the three, like I don't know why Ford would resent. I never understood why Ford resented Han Solo as much as he did.
Yeah, I don't understand it either, because just looking at his filmography, which we will get into later when we get into Star Wars and Empire and all that stuff next year in 2024, folks. But like just looking right after Jedi, Presumed Innocent in 90, Regarding Henry in 91. You already mentioned Patriot Games, The Fugitive. I mean, everybody was Richard friggin' whatever. I actually saw this in – so this is weird. I didn't know what it was going to be. I was 15 at the time. I did not realize it was based on. I saw him and Julia, what's her name? Oh, whatever the hell her name is. I saw Sabrina in theaters in 95. Ormond. It was Julia. It's him and Julia Ormond. So that was a little strange. But I mean, he's had a really good, like. He did 42 in 2013. He did, you know, Firewall in 2006. Air Force One, 1997. You know, the man's got an amazing filmography. So
I mean, he's doing at least two TV shows right now. And I can't remember there's one where he plays like a psychologist and like he's like the mentor to the main character. Or like the dad. I think he's the dad and the mentor. I'm not sure. And then there he's in the prequel to the Kevin Costner thing, Yellowstone.
1923 and Shrinking.
Yeah.
Shrinking as he plays Dr. Yes. Paul Rhodes in Shrinking.
So, you know, like, I mean, the dude's still a working actor at like, you know, 110.
Absolutely. 110.
And he also, like famously, he got started late. Like,
yeah.
he was in his 30s when he did Star Wars. Like,
he's 81.
I mean, that's born in
42. So,
that ain't not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
If he could just keep from crashing airplanes and getting injured on set doing stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Cool. He got his leg crushed in Force Awakens, and he screwed up his arm and his back on Indiana Jones 5.
I am so, like, I don't know. Back to Solo. I love this movie. I think it's a good movie. I don't know if it's a movie that I will go back to too often, but it's a movie that I'm glad that I finally got to see the events that have not necessarily plagued me for the last 40 years of my life, but just – I love and hate when movies hint at things and then we never really get them. And then we get to a point 40 years later. Oh, hey, here's that story. Like, that's like.
But don't you think it's fun to also like. You know, if you never see, like, then you make it up in your mind, you know, like the Kessel Run could have been anything. And I don't know. It's a little. You know, like in my head. I always heard that Darth Vader fell in the lava, right? People are like, oh, well, he'd die anyway. And I'm like, it's freaking Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just sort of lying next to it and like a spark sets him on fire. Yeah. Like there's something about like your imagination where like laying it all out for you. I don't know. Sometimes it's, I mean, it like I said, I like the movie well enough, but you know, like, and I don't know that we needed every aspect to be laid out.
Yeah.
But I feel like some things, you know, some things are better in your imagination. Like famously, that's the thing about the movie Jaws is that the shark didn't work. So like they worked around it and made a better movie, you know, because when you see the shark, it's kind of fake looking. But until then, when you're seeing the camera gliding around and you're imagining this giant, you know, like Alien, you almost never see the creature really well. Like the good horror movies never let you see the monster. And I think that's like that with these backstories. Like it's pretty rare that you get a really satisfying. I mean, I appreciate you love the movie, but you know, there's always. I think the stories are always a little more. I mean, this is one of the explanations for why people were disappointed by the prequels is that the stories we had in our heads were more than what we got.
Right.
Know? They could never quite do what we had imagined. Yeah. I do think sometimes there is something to be left for mystery. I think a big mistake with Wolverine is that they told his backstory. I think sometimes you lose that mystery is what makes a character kind of cool. Like part of what made Han cool was that he had this mysterious backstory and he'd done all this stuff. And yeah, it would be cool. To me, it would be more fun to watch an adventure of Han Solo than the adventure of Han Solo, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, that's what I loved about Mandalorian was he was just this guy doing this job, and it wasn't this huge earth-shattering thing about saving Mandalore and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was just like it was very simple. I'd like to see Han do like a smuggling run with Chewie in their youth and have an adventure and, you know, as opposed to like, again, like he gets the blaster, he gets the dice, he does the flipping sideways trick, he gets his last name, he gets a Millennium Falcon, he meets Lando, he does the Kessel run, he loses the love of, like, it's the Han Solo story.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have more fun with a Han Solo story where they keep the character's backstory a little bit mysterious.
I can see that.
And I think the film they did was fine. Like I liked it well enough. But I would have enjoyed it more, I think, if it hadn't. I'm belaboring the point, but I mean, I don't want to knock the film they made, but I would have enjoyed a different film more.
I get it. Yeah, no, absolutely. Would you recommend this to people?
You know, given your response to it, I would give a cautious I think I would recommend it to people who aren't necessarily Star Wars fans.
Mm-hmm.
More than hardcore Star Wars fans.
Yeah, that was my thought too. Like,
well, number one, hardcore Star Wars fans are going to see it anyway. They're not going to listen. They're going to be like, yeah, whatever, and watch it anyway. But I think,
yeah,
I think if you have fewer expectations, you'll enjoy it more.
Yeah, and what he means, folks, by fewer expectations, not a 40-year buildup.
Well, but you know, like again, like you know. As a Star Wars, you know, as a Star Wars fan my whole life, as Han Solo is my favorite character. So I went into this with a lot of, you know, like I knew a lot of the lore, which was kind of both cool and bad. Like I said, when he wins the Falcon in a card game, like I knew that. So that I was happy that was the canonical thing. Like there were things that like I expected because I knew the lore.
Right.
But I also like, I think it would almost be more fun going in, not knowing all this stuff. Like you didn't know that, like, I don't know how to put this. You weren't expecting the dice and the gun name and the going fly. Like you weren't expecting like for you, it was just this cool character from the movies and the story. Like if this movie had come first, like nobody would be complaining about, you know, well, that's how we got the dice. You know what I mean? Like if this movie had come first, it would just be, this is where he got all the shit from. And like, nobody would have a problem with that. Yeah. Where as someone who's coming from it backwards, it's like, okay, well, all this stuff showed up in this one adventure.
Well, I mean, even I'm coming at it backwards. I mean,
but you're less of a Star Wars fan, so you're less of like a
wow.
Come on, bro.
Oh, wow.
Half your basement dedicated to crap from Star Wars.
No, I don't.
Do you have a mannequin in your basement dressed as the bounty hunter Bossk?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But at the same time,
you have an arcade cabinet of the original three Star Wars video games.
I wish I did. Do you have an extra one? Because I'd love to have one of those. Anyway. Wow. I mean,
isn't that the reason you invited me onto this series?
Yes. No, absolutely. But I'm saying, like, yes, I understand your level of fandom is way higher than mine when it comes to the merchandise. But the way you said that was like, this kid, he doesn't know what the hell Star Wars is. I have to learn him something or whatever.
No, if it were flipped with Transformers, I would have no problem whatsoever with you saying that you're a bigger Star or bigger Transformers fan than I am. Because it's true. Like, I have a lot of Transformers. I have a lot of Transformers from every generation. But, like, I don't have that zeal that, like, I don't, you know, like, half the ones I have downstairs, I probably don't even remember their names. You know, I don't like I remember, you know, I remember my favorites. But like what I'm saying is, I don't know why that's like a line in the sand. I mean, people, everybody loves their thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's always going to be someone who, I mean, as much as I love Star Wars, I'm sure there are plenty. There might even be people here in Springfield who love it more than I do.
Yeah.
And at some point you got to like back down and go, OK, like it's just I get it. All I'm saying is I went into it with my head full of things because Star Wars is on my brain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And it's so I approach this film with a different perspective than you did. And mm-hmm. I don't, you know, you approach every Transformers movie with a different perspective. You approach every movie with a different perspective than I do. And those different perspectives, I think, color your ultimate opinion of the film.
Yeah.
And as to go back to the original question, I think someone who has less of that is going to enjoy this film more than someone who has more of that.
Right. I think for me, what it is with this film is that there are times in comic books when comic books will do the time jumping. So one panel will be the past, the next panel will be the future, then we go to the present, then we go back to the, like, it'll be like 1860, 1975, it does all this timey-wimey bullshit. So for me, growing up watching Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi, and I'm only going to mention those for now because those are really the only ones at this point that are like, the prequels have nothing to do with Han whatsoever. At least I don't think that, yeah, no. Not much.
They kind of do.
Well, some. But
they kind of have a big thing to do with the movie.
Yeah, some.
We haven't even talked about the big surprise, big spoiler.
Yeah, not yet. We will. I'll let you spoil that.
But yes, but there is in fact a rather sizable tie-in with the prequels.
Right. But my point is, with Han himself, I had only known what I had seen already kind of stuff. So like for me, it's more of like, okay, that's the present day Han Solo, which is Harrison Ford. This is his origin story, which, as we all know, it is his origin story as far as George and everybody is concerned.
As far as Disney is concerned.
I should say Disney and not George, because George sold his shit. But, you know, I like going back. I don't mind jumping in the DeLorean and heading back to 1918 whatever and seeing the beginning of something, because as I've said plenty of times on this show and other shows, I like starting at the beginning and reading the whole story. And I understand we didn't have the whole story 40 years ago. We do now. And
that
was also
on purpose.
True.
Like Lucas is famous for saying, not famous for saying, but he has said at least once in one interview that he deliberately started with the quote interesting ones. Because I think part of the reason that the prequels weren't well received is because Star Wars tells a story about the war and about, you know, like all the exciting stuff really happens in the 4, 5, and 6, where 1, 2, and 3 are build up. So, I mean, he deliberately started where he started on purpose. And that became a famous thing, like of starting in media res, of starting in the middle. I mean, it literally starts in the middle of a battle.
All right, 0 to 5, what would you rate Solo, A Star Wars Story?
If I'm being fair, I would give it a 4.
Yeah.
I think the movie itself is probably better than I'm giving it credit for, because I'm a Star Wars fanboy, and by then my fanboy feelings had started to become an issue. No, I'm aware of that. Like,
right.
I'm aware of that. Like, I realize it influences everything that I watch.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I have no real complaints. It's not that I want to take a point off. I'm not going to give it a 5 because even though I enjoyed it, I still think there are – I enjoy other Star Wars movies more. And a 4 out of 5 isn't a bad rating at all. And again, there wasn't anything in here that was going to make me walk out or stop or go do something else kind of thing. And it was very enjoyable. So, yeah, 4 out of 5.
I mean, of the 11 films, it's probably 5th on my ranking.
Cool. So, very cool.
5th or 6th, yeah.
Somewhere around there. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast of your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
You're after something. Is it revenge? Money? Or is it something else? You look good. A little rough around the edges, but good.
Heard about a job. Big shot gangster putting together a crew.
I'm a driver, and I'm a flyer. I waited a long time for a shot like this.
What do you think?
Well, what do you know?
You got a line on a ship?
Yeah, I know a guy. He's the best smuggler around.
I heard a story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Everything you've heard about me is true.
L3!
Let's go with a mean man's face.
Who are these guys?
you come with us, you're in this life for good.
You might want to buckle up, baby.
Here they come!
Well, let me give you some advice. We assume everyone will betray you, and you will never be disappointed.
I got a really good feeling about this.
Since when do you know how to fly?
190 years old? You look great.
Push it!
All right, folks, Studio 2009, the end of the year. Happy New Year to everybody. And yeah, Solo, a Star Wars story. Any final thoughts before I run through the closing, sir?
Well, you said we were going to like talk about it in a minute, and we never did.
Which was the surprise is that
Black Sun is run by Darth Maul. Darth Maul has a surprise cameo appearance in the film.
Yes, he does. And reprising is Sam Witwer, or whatever his name is, who did the voice in Clone Wars. That was cool as hell.
Yeah, and well, it was also cool that Ray Park did the body stuff.
Did the body stuff? Yep. Yeah, very, very awesome.
So we established that I'm a collector. Like, mm-hmm. I will say one of the things that made me sad is by this point, like it felt like it was getting harder and harder to get. Like I have the official guidebook here with all the pictures of stuff. There were so many toys I would have bought if they'd made them, and they were kind of moving away from that. Like I know you're a big Pops guy.
Yep.
One of the pops that I have, because Hasbro didn't make it, there's a scene when they first meet Lando in this bar on the ice planet. There are these little like gladiator droids that are fighting each other, and they're adorable. It's like battle bots, Star Wars style.
Yeah.
And I would love to have the Hasbro toys of those, but they never made them, so I had to get the pops. I had to get the pops set of the two little gaunt droid with the buzzsaws. And so this is about the start where Last Jedi. Famously, like, they had all the Rose Ticos that didn't sell. They had the Black Series, Admiral Holdos that didn't sell. So they really cut back on Solo, which is a shame because there's all these cool characters that were playing Sal back with Lando. You can get all the main characters. I think in the Black Series has like a few more characters because this is also when they really started flipping towards the Black Series for their main collector line. But just personally, I was a little sad. I would like more stuff. I would love for Hasbro to kind of go back and like fill out its ranks in the vintage collection.
Yeah.
The collector's nerd nitpick.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks. Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, this is the end of the year for 2023. Coming up in 2024, in January, we will only have two episodes as far as releases go because I need some time to get other episodes recorded for the show. But we will have Dave and I starting the year off with Andor Season 1 in 12 months of Star Wars. And then some friends of mine and I are going to talk about The Rookie from 2002, which is the baseball movie about Jim Morris starring Dennis Quaid. And all that, so we're going to talk about that. And then in February, the Gamer Origins, which is 30 questions all about playing video games, will launch for pretty much the rest of the time we do the podcast. I've got episode 75 will be a podcast approach episode, and then the end of February, Dave and I will be back, and we will be doing Rogue One and Star Wars. Okay, well, yes. Rogue One, a Star Wars story. And then we're going to go back
all the way. Started it all.
Yes, 1977. And we're going to watch that farm boy fuck it up, fumble around and fuck it up pretty much. Oh, boy. I miss Alec. I miss Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
So that's what's coming up here inside Studio 2009. Anything else you want to say, sir, before I run through this?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients that are out there. Spotify is my preferred one that I use. Yes, iTunes is still a thing. If you want to leave us iTunes reviews, you can so do that if you're an Apple fanboy. We are on X at Geekcast Radio for the network at It's ITS Studio 2009, all one word for the show. I am at TFU and Mike. Dave doesn't do social media, at least none that you can reach him on anyway. you can check us out on Facebook, Geekcast Radio Network, and Studio 2009 Podcast over there as well. And next time, at the beginning of the year, 2024, we're going to kick it off with Andor Season 1.
Yay! From
Star Wars! Yay! Everybody sound like Kermit. Yay!
Yay!
For now, I'm TF2 and Mike with
Dave Ripper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.